Hello, everyone. Welcome back to PW Pondering's weekly newscast, where we discuss all the top news in independent pro wrestling. Of course, I'm Chris Giusti. I am the web admin, and I am joined, as always, by our senior editor, Jerome Cusan. Jerome, this is a big week, man.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could all watch and bask in this show together? But that would be way too much to ask from Ring of Honor, Sinclair, and our favorite Booker Delirious.
I mean, I understand the qualms about it. Like, why is this on iPay-per-view? Why aren't all nights on... I mean, I understand the TV taping, so three nights on iPay-per-view. It's going to be interesting that they have publicly announced that, hey, we're not going to have these VODs up that quickly. So you're going to watch the iPay-per-view. It's a standalone event. That's kind of okay. I mean, because it's not like these shows really bleed into each other.
Yes, but we live in a completely different era, Chris. This is, you know, 2003. If Ring of Honor was doing 2 or 3 months between... When they were doing 2 and 3 months between DVDs, fine, whatever. It's 2015. We know the 24-hour turnarounds can happen. It's happened with Shikara multiple times. Ring of Honor, again, they're owned by billion-dollar conglomerates. I understand that, you know, this conglomerate is not interested in spending a lot of money on them. But are you kidding me? You can't get these VODs out in 24 hours. That is utterly ridiculous that in 2015 this can happen. I don't believe it. I cannot believe that Ring of Honor is pretty much burning money at the table, because at this point it's one of those situations where the fans are going to be seeing these shows completely out of order. You have a pay-per-view on Friday. I mean, what if your fans wanted to stay spoiler-free on the first two nights, but you're clearly going to be talking about results and things that have happened in Philadelphia when you're on the iPay-per-view on Friday night? So I just, it boggles my mind that Ring of Honor makes these decisions to have an iPay-per-view on the Friday night, but then they're going to release the rest of the shows, or at least two of the shows, afterwards, so you're screwing up your own timeline and allowing fans to see things differently. And Ring of Honor's had a timeline problem basically since 2007, between the conflicts between the TV and the taped pay-per-views and the house shows and all that stuff. So this isn't unusual, but I can't believe that we're still having these same conversations here in 2015. Ring of Honor should be smarter than this. I mean, this is an opportunity for them to really step up and to put on four really great shows, and they probably will be great shows. That we're not even arguing that at this point. I mean, of course, when you have this level of talent, when you have Nakamura, Okada, Tanahashi, Liger, Naito, Kushida, you're going to end up with a lot of really good matches, a lot of really good shows that people want to see. People want to give Ring of Honor their money, Chris. There are a lot of people, even if they're not totally down with some of what's going on in Ring of Honor right now, for these shows, people are begging to give Ring of Honor their money, and Ring of Honor just isn't... I don't think they're taking advantage of that, and it's the same principle with Supercard of Honor. I mean, remember how much buzz there was before that show, and then Supercard of Honor comes out, and nobody cares because WrestleMania weekend was over, and people had moved on to the next thing. That's exactly what I fear is going to happen next time. Things move so quickly, Chris, and that's the big difference in an era of social media and all that stuff. Things move on. You know, life moves on. If you can't get these shows out quickly, then you're going to get lost in the dust. And we can watch New Japan Pro Wrestling live now, whereas we couldn't even 3 or 4 years ago, yet we're going to be waiting for VODs from Ring of Honor for a week.
No, I totally understand. I mean, I went to Supercard of Honor. It was an exciting show there. There was a lot of buzz on Twitter that night. We got a lot of hits on the website. And then when it finally came out on VOD, barely saw anyone really tweeting that they were watching it live. Nothing like... I mean, not live, but, you know, while they were watching it. And I thought that was kind of sad. And then, of course, during the TV, I thought it was good. You know, they put on a couple good matches from it, but really, really did capitalize, like you said. But yeah, so Ring of Honor has a big week. Of course, we don't want to forget this past weekend. A lot of events happened. We have them up on the website, pwponderings.com/results. Of course, Cherry Bomb, the new WSU champion, the Super Smash Brothers, the new Alpha 1 Tag Team champions. So a lot of fun results. But this week, I mean, I just think we got to focus on this. With the New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor joint shows, that's the big thing. Plus, Global Force Wrestling releasing their roster. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, Jerome. I think you kind of gave a lot of your thoughts, but I'm going to run down the cards here real quick. Of course, you can go listen to the Podcast of Honor where Chris Mickey and Ari Berenstein and myself talk about all of them in depth, some of the themes that we see on the outside, and a lot of details that I think that, you know, maybe once we do get to see the shows in their entirety, including the TV tapings, maybe we'll have some clues to what may happen in New Japan in the future. But War of the Worlds 2015 Night 1 takes place Tuesday, May 12th. It's so weird to say. You have Delirious versus Gato, Jay Lethal versus Watanabe, Roderick Strong versus Kushida, The Addiction versus The Kingdom. Obviously, that's Michael Bennett, Matt Taven versus The Young Bucks, Michael Hogan versus Naito, Red Dragon versus Jushin Thunder Liger and Hiroshi Tanahashi. AJ Styles is facing a mystery opponent. I think I think everyone kind of knows who it is, but we're not going to spoil it for you if you didn't get to see that screenshot. And the main event, the Briscoes versus Okada and Nakamura of Chaos. And then night two, Wednesday, May 13th. I mean, God, don't think of this. You're going to have Lucha Underground, NXT, and the Ring of Honor New Japan joint show all happening on the same night. I think it's going to be a great night for wrestling for everyone. The main event is a six-man tag team, the Bullet Club, including the IWGP Heavyweight Champion AJ Styles versus the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks versus the Kingdom of Adam Cole, the IWGP World Tag Champions of Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. You have Jay Briscoe versus Bobby Fish for the Ring of Honor World title. And if you guys haven't seen them, those promos that Bobby Fish is cutting leading up to this match, tremendous. I mean, I'm not saying a title change is going to happen, but man, Bobby Fish, he's so entertaining. Four Corner Survival Match, you have Jay Lethal versus Nakamura versus Mark Briscoe versus Liger. And then you have the Ring of Honor World Tag Champions, The Addiction versus Okada and Gato. Kyle O'Reilly versus Naito. That match is going to be excellent. I mean, all of these matches pretty much are, but still, that one in particular. Roderick Strong versus Tanahashi. Adam Page versus Watanabe. Michael Hogan versus Kushida. And an appearance by Moose. I guess we say current Global Force Wrestling roster member Moose. Yeah. Jerome, before we get into Global Wars 2015 Night 1, which is the iPay-per-view, you know, the two main events for the shows we're not going to see live, to me, they're kind of the best ones. You know?
Yeah, it's like I said, the four shows on paper, these should be four of the very best pro wrestling shows of 2015. There's no doubt in my mind that everything that has been put together, all four nights are strong for individual reasons. There are a lot of great matchups that are going to happen. And there's almost no reason for this to underdeliver. Unless the New Japan guys come over to the States and half-ass it, that would literally be the only way. But these two guys, I mean, these roster members are so good at what they do. I mean, a guy like Nakamura just has charisma out the wazoo, and he can practically carry a match in that way. I mean, Okada, probably second or third best wrestler in the world, if not the best. I mean, like I said, these cards are awesome, and what a home run. Delirious does get credit for putting these cards together. It sounds like he did most of it, with Gato contributing a few things, but man, these shows have the potential to be real home runs, and I hope that they don't get lost in the shuffle, because if they're great shows, then they deserve to be seen and bought by so many people.
I mean, what does it say when in 2015 we're saying Liger, Jushin Thunder Liger is having some of the best matches? It's pretty insane.
I mean, Jushin Thunder Liger is an icon. He is a living legend in the world of pro wrestling, and there are so few of those guys who are living legends who can still wrestle, and that's what Liger is. You know, he's not 1992 Jushin Thunder Liger wrestling Brian Pillman in the opener of Super Brawl, but if you watch him wrestle, he knows exactly what he's doing, and he is still capable of building up to his big spots. He knows what that's the thing about Liger that makes him so special, is that he is still smart enough and good enough to have a good match at the age of 50 years old. How many people at the age of 50 can still play baseball or basketball at a high level, or even wrestle at a high level? I mean, there's so few. You could argue Ric Flair is probably one of the few, but, I mean, Liger's awesome. Jushin Thunder Liger is just an icon in this business, and any time that he gets to wrestle in the United States is a treat for wrestling fans. regardless of who he's wrestling or where he's wrestling, because he just knows what he's doing. And he's also a guy who doesn't have a big ego. You know, there are a lot of these guys who come into the States and, you know, they half-ass it or they don't want to lose. But, I mean, Liger's put over... He's put over two Ring of Honor world champions in Austin Aries and Adam Cole when Cole was the champion. He put over Jay Lethal. I mean, that's what he does. He comes over and he understands his position as a wrestler at this point. He knows what his job is, and he's still capable of doing that. And at the end of the day, that is all you can want from someone who is such an icon and who really does... He cares about... He comes across as a guy who legitimately cares about not only what's going on in the world of pro wrestling in Japan, but also what's going on in Ring of Honor. How many guys would travel however many times he comes to the United States and lose to a guy like Jay Lethal? You could argue that very few wrestlers of that caliber would just come onto a Ring of Honor show and lose to Jay Lethal. But he did it, and that speaks to how great he is and what a unselfish individual he is.
Right, and I think we're going to be talking about those sentiments a little bit more when we get closer to the Global First Wrestling roster reveal. But yeah, so Global Wars Night 1, it is the iPay-per-view. We should have someone covering it live. You have The Kingdom, Michael Bennett, Matt Taven versus Matt Sydal and Jushin Thunder Liger. Chris Sabin versus Kushida, Gato and Moose, what a team that is, versus Watanabe and Silas Young. ACH versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which is the match, I think, of the week. And that could really steal, on all four shows, it's hard to say, but I think that match could. The Addiction versus Roppongi Vice versus The Decade versus Red Dragon. Cedric Alexander versus Okada. Michael Elgin versus Tanahashi. Jay Lethal, the World Television Title against Naito. And the main event, the Ring of Honor All-Stars, the Briscoes, Roderick Strong, and War Machine versus the Bullet Club of Machine Gun, Karl Anderson, Doc Gallows, AJ Styles, and the Young Bucks. Again, I think it's going to be a strong iPay-per-view. I don't think that any of the matches won't deliver. But for the main event, I'm excited for it, but there's a part of me that's like, there's something missing from it, especially when you consider what the other ones are. But anyway, the next night, night two, the last one, takes place Saturday, May 16th. It is a TV taping. I'm assuming we also will have results for those. Won't be live tweeting those. We will be live tweeting the other three nights, but obviously with these being spoilers, we won't do it. We have the Bullet Club, AJ Styles and Young Bucks versus Chaos, Okada, Rocky Romero, and Beretta. Kushida versus Will Ferrara, Michael Elgin versus Gato, The Kingdom versus Doc Gallows and Karl Anderson, Liger versus Dalton Castle, which I know has made Kevin Ford just super excited. I'm sure it makes everyone excited. I mean, why wouldn't you be? Tanahashi and Naito versus ACH and Matt Sydal, and they've also announced Moose versus BJ Whitmer. We also have Jay Briscoe, The Addiction, Jay Lethal, War Machine, Donovan Dijak, Red Dragon, Cedric Alexander, all still announced for some matches. I mean, it's going to be a great TV taping. I think that it's been put best that, depending on what type of wrestling event you want to go to, you can go to any of the standalone events. I mean, I realize that there are very few tickets left for all of them, if any at all. But if you're more into wanting to be there, like, for promos and the TV setting, I mean, I'm really hoping the fans can, and they never, you know, they never fail to do this, but still, they bring that excitement, because this should be some of the best TV that Ring of Honor has put on in quite a while. Not to say that the current TV has been bad, but it's, something's missing. I mean, I'll talk about that in a little bit.
I think the hilarious part is that the 4 weeks that they're taping on Saturday, how does this build up for Best in the World? Please explain that to me.
So, Liger's getting a title? No, that's not it. You know, Elgin's getting a title? No, that's not it either.
I have no idea what... I mean, look, I understand...
Dalton Castle's getting a TV title shot. There you go.
I understand. Look, this is a huge week. There is no doubt about it. But let's think about this in a hypothetical way. You've got four huge shows. Let's say $15 for the VOD. That's $45 right there that people are spending for the iPay-per-views and the VODs of these shows. Obviously, the TV taping not included right now. But, or you're going to be asking people to spend $60 for DVDs, plus the ungodly amount of shipping and handling that is required to purchase a DVD. And then 1 month later, you're going to ask these same fans to spend $45 on a pay-per-view on a Friday night during the summer, and your television is evidently not going to do as great of a job as possible in building up the show. They learned nothing from Final Battle and from the anniversary show. If we think back and go back, the television leading up to Final Battle was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. They did a very terrible job of not building up the shows, barely mentioning any of the matches, and the show did not do as well as Best in the World. And then if we think back to the anniversary show, where they were mentioning the matches on a very consistent basis and having angles and building up the TV, magically, there were more buys for that show. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't understand why this is so difficult.
Apparently, wrestling math still just doesn't work. Yeah, I mean, I agree with some of the people in the chat room. You know, Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe, it could be really good as a match. But you're right, Jordan. The television, how is that going to build to it? It just doesn't work that way. And still, we don't know what.
And what about the rest of the card? I'm not spending $45 for one match.
The rest of the card, right? Well, we'll probably. I mean, I'm assuming this is going to be it. We're going to see the Addiction defending the tag titles probably again against Red Dragon. Right? The TV title is going up against the world champion. So, yeah, that's basically it. I don't know what the other feuds are going into this. It's going to be an interesting pay-per-view. But you know what, Jerome? We might not have to worry about that too much because after that, you have All-Star Extravaganza 7. The weekend's coming September 18th and 19th. So they have two nights of those. And then they'll return again, I guess, to another iPay-per-view, Death Before Dishonor 13. Of course, Friday, July 24th in Baltimore, Maryland. You and I were kind of talking about this off the air. You know, you have the two events in Texas with All-Star Extravaganza. You have Death Before Dishonor in Maryland, which I'm assuming is on iPay-per-view because most likely they're going to have some Sinclair management there, and they want to show off a little. But yeah, and then you're like, you asked me, so how are they building, how is Best in the World going to top any of those to be enough to be worthy of a pay-per-view buy? And I really don't have an answer, because unless somehow Best in the World is also a joint show with New Japan, it won't make any sense. The wrestling will be good. I don't think any of us doubt that. But when it comes to the universe that Ring of Honor is building right now, it's pretty flaky. You know, I mean, I've been catching up on the recent Ring of Honor, and I get it, they're building to Lethal versus Briscoe. That's it. That's really the main feud going on. And even that, you're just like, okay, that's what's going to happen. Because either way, the TV champion's going to look bad, or he's going to win the world title, and then what do you do with the Briscoes after that? I mean, you cannot have Jay and Mark as tag team champions again. You just can't do that. It's either way, lots of talent, though. Obviously, a big week for Ring of Honor. We'll have all the results up on the website. Still, a lot of fun. Actually, though, speaking of the internet pay-per-view, you know, we're going to see them return to that on Friday and then doing it with Death Before Dishonor. And I've already kind of given my idea about why they're doing it. But do you think this is a good idea? I mean, just, I guess, putting more of the bigger shows back on iPay-per-view?
I mean, I think it's got to be worth a try at this point, especially the Ring of Honor New Japan shows. How is this working? Is this working through Ustream?
I don't know. I think they've just kind of contracted out a separate group. I'll try to get an answer on that.
I mean, I'm not going to sit down and watch a live iPay-per-view ever again from Ring of Honor. That's just not going to happen. And unless it's WrestleMania weekend, I'm probably not going to do that with WWN Live. So I'm not the person that can best answer this because I've pretty much given up on the concept of live iPay-per-view anyway. But to me, this is absolutely the week that if you're going to do it, you should do it because people really are invested in these shows. People really do care about these New Japan shows. You know, New Japan as a company, obviously you had Wrestle Kingdom that tore it up and is probably going to go down as one of the best shows of the year. You've got New Japan World that people have access to here in the United States. It feels like more people than ever are watching New Japan. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Obviously, in the circles that we sort of travel in social media, there's a lot of New Japan conversation. So we may very well be in the bubble. That is conceivable. But the reality is that more people than ever have access to New Japan World. More people than ever have access to Ring of Honor through the television. You know, we can criticize the Ring of Honor television, but there are a lot of people that can see it on a weekly basis. So there's no reason that these should not be four huge shows. And if you're going to take a crack at iPay-per-view, this is the opportunity to do that. It's just unfortunate that they're going to do it on only one of the four nights, and it's, of course, on a Friday night, which, again, I'm not sure if that's the best idea, given the weather. I mean, who wants to stay home on a Friday night and watch a Ring of Honor pay-per-view? I'm not sure about that. I understand the logic behind it. Obviously, CZW does Saturday night shows and WWN. You know, Shine is on Friday nights, but I think for a company like Ring of Honor, I just don't see it as being the best idea in the world for to do Friday night pay-per-views.
I agree. And, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But, again, really excited for these shows. Looking forward to them. You know, we're going to be live-tweeting the results, so check us out, PW Ponderings on Twitter. But, Joe, I mean, that kind of leads into the next topic. So, when it comes to wrestling on TV, like you said, there's so much out there right now to digest. And this week, I mean, actually, just today, more names were announced for Global Force Wrestling. They'd already announced Chael Sonnen as an analyst, PJ Black, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, Lance Hoyt, Chris Mordetsky, formerly Chris Masters, Moose of Ring of Honor, though ProWrestling.net is reporting that possibly his contract is up, so maybe this is something they just kind of worked out. Lady Tapa, Tia Trinidad, Say Sonata, and then the new names added from the video that they put out there. You have the Young Bucks, Cliff Compton, Sanjay Dutt, Tyrus, the former Brodus Clay, Jigsaw, Luke Hawks, the new Heavenly Bodies of Desirable Dustin and Gigolo Justin, Cassidy Riley and Chase Stevens. Can't even understand how they're tagging again, but they are. Chuck Taylor and Jimmy Rave. And, Drum, I mean, this roster, it looks good on paper. It really does. But what I was alluding to earlier, and you kind of touched on it with Liger coming over, you know, Liger will come over, has a great wrestling match, but he understands his place. You look at half of this roster, and, you know, some of them are coming over from New Japan. Others have pretty big names, you know, coming from former WWE stock. And I don't know, Jerome, just putting some of these combinations together, they're great, like you know, like the Killer Elite Squad versus the Young Bucks, which we could possibly get in New Japan anyway, and then, you know, you have Jigsaw, you know, coming out, you know, maybe going up against, like, a Chris Masters. I don't know, it's just, this roster, it seems so haphazard. Not saying that it's bad, but it's random.
I mean, that's Global Force Wrestling in a nutshell, isn't it? It's very haphazard and random. I don't think the roster's the issue. I mean, to me, there are so many good wrestlers out there in the universe that you can basically cobble together a group of 20 to 25 wrestlers and have a really good show if you wanted to. There's no excuse for that. If you're a high-level promotion, there's no reason that you can't have a really good show. And if you look at all of these individual wrestlers, unless Global Force was somehow able to get Steve Austin to be a commentator or have The Rock, or if they were able to sign John Cena, that's the only way Global Force Wrestling was going to make a real impact and a dent. But for who's available, this is probably the best possible roster. I don't know what people were looking for when they were thinking about what Global Force Wrestling could be. The problem is the presentation, I guess the press conference, was kind of a disaster from what I was hearing and listening to on other podcasts. I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with the roster. The problem is, why am I going to trust Jeff Jarrett, the guy who started TNA, a company that has been bumbling and stumbling for the last 12 years? And, you know, you've got this press conference thing. They're running all these minor league baseball stadiums, and then they've got the TV tapings at the Orleans and Las Vegas. And who knows what's going to happen with those.
Granted, those are paid shows, so hopefully they're not losing money on them.
Right, and that's, again, there's nothing wrong with any of this. The problem is, I just don't know how successful. Do we really need another wrestling company at this point? I mean, if this was just a situation where they were doing the baseball tours, that would actually make a lot of sense, because you're giving guys extra dates. You're sort of combining all these various federations together and maybe running matches that a lot of other places couldn't deliver on. You know, you're using guys who are a little bit underexposed and who can, you know, have great matches. A guy like the former Chris Masters, who has developed into a really good talent. I've got a guy, I mean, Jigsaw is awesome. Jigsaw really isn't used by Chikara for whatever reason. The Killer Elite Squad and the Young Bucks can probably have some really good tag team matches. So there's a lot of really good potential combinations. The talent isn't the problem. It's going to come down to the presentation of the product, and I just don't trust that we're going to get a cohesive product and a cohesive roster, because, I mean, if it comes down to it, if Global Force Wrestling does get a television deal, is Moose really going to go to Global Force Wrestling? I mean, it's certainly possible. Are the Young Bucks going to go to Global Force Wrestling and sign a contract and wrestle on television for them? I don't know. I think they've got a good... I mean, I think conceptually what they have going now is actually good, in that Moose is going to be able to work Global Force Wrestling and Ring of Honor. I didn't think that was going to be the case, because the way the pro wrestling works is not smart. And this is actually a good thing, because Moose should be working more places, because that's the only way that he is going to get better, is by wrestling for Ring of Honor and all of these places. So it's a really good thing for him. He is going to benefit in a big way from being able to work in front of very different crowds, because obviously Ring of Honor tends toward the more hardcore, the more smart marquee fans. But when he's going into a baseball stadium in Jackson, Tennessee, that's a very different type of audience member than a Ring of Honor fan. And I think that's a good thing. Again, I think it's good that he's being exposed in front of different audience members and different types of wrestling fans, because that's what's going to make him grow as a performer, is to have these sorts of opportunities before presumably he ends up in WWE. And really, that's where he should want to end up, given his size, given his athleticism, given his background. That's probably where Moose belongs. I've really concentrated on him, but again, everybody's going to benefit, I think, in some way. Again, it's extra dates. When it comes to the television, I don't have any confidence that we're going to see Global Force Wrestling on a real strong cable station. I mean, TNA is struggling. Ring of Honor is struggling. Lucha Underground is struggling to get all the clearances and get ratings. I mean, we could very well lose Lucha Underground before the year is over, despite the fact that it's arguably the best professional wrestling product going right now. And that's because they lose a ton of money at these TV tapings. So if places like that have trouble surviving, it's tough for me to see Global Force Wrestling surviving.
No, I hear you. It is kind of, it's sad to think about, if we don't have Lucha Underground as an alternative. And it was the best alternative out there, and just unfortunately is on a channel not a lot of people get. And TNA too. I haven't watched any of the current product, but I do listen to a lot of the podcasts, and Impact seems to be getting better, and it's just unfortunate they're on a channel nobody gets. And then when you think about Ring of Honor, they are syndicated. They cleared the NESN, I guess, group of stations. So, they're still growing, but it's not obviously nationwide. It is nationwide, but it's not on a channel that is really available for everyone. I don't mind watching on their website, but I know a lot of people do. I mean, to this day, Jerome, we still get tweets and emails saying, "Hey, how do you guys watch Ring of Honor TV?" And it's like people still don't know. They can just go to the website and watch it on Monday or Thursday. So yeah, with Global Force, I think we're all hopeful for, it's hopeful for the best, but we'll wait and see. Speaking of the production, and Jerome, I mean, I think I know how you think about this. So I'm not expecting you to comment too much further on it, but that video that they put together announcing all these guys, I mean, just milliseconds in between the images, just that video, just pretty bad. You have guys like the Young Bucks and Luke Hawks and Chuck Taylor, names that people like us know, and you barely could tell who they were. It was terrible.
That video was dreadful.
Yeah, it's so bad. So when you talk about, you worry about what the production could look like, what they might look like, there's our first glimpse of it, and that was not a win. I'll tell you that. That was not a win. So, speaking of Luke Hawks, though, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Tier 1 Wrestling. It is coming. Finally, we have a date for their debut show, July 10th. That is a Friday. Really good promotion coming to New York, Queens, New York in particular. And they not only do they have the location, they also have the date. They also have announced they have a four-way elimination-style match to crown their first-ever Tier 1 Wrestling champion. And the first name announced for it is Biff Busick. We talked about it here on the newscast, Biff Busick, a guy that... Man, he should be booked in a lot more places, and he's very talented. He's having just an amazing year already. And, you know, he's going to be the first one there. So Luke Hawks is also announced to be a part of the promotion. They also announced new names like Pinky Sanchez. I know Homicide is going to be at the event, you know, to sign some autographs. Not saying he's going to be involved in the ring or anything like that, but he will be there signing some autographs. It's going to be a lot of fun. And from what I understand, there's a lot of good surprises coming. So front row seats are $26.50. General admission is $21.50. It is first come, first serve basis. I mean, they're really trying. They're trying to make something from this when it comes to the New York area, trying to just give something different. So you can go check it out. We will have the information on the website, well, today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. But yeah, Tier 1 Wrestling, I mean, I'm pretty excited for it. You can go to tier1wrestling.org or look them up on Facebook as well. They've got a lot of good stuff coming, guys, so please go and support them if you're in the New York area. Drome, the Chikara Anniversario, a new attitude, is coming May 24th. I know that it's sharing another show during the same weekend, but they have announced some matches. They have the United Nations versus Dasher Hatfield, Mr. Touchdown, Icarus and Heidi Lovelace, Ophidian, Eddie Kingston, Shinron, and Argus versus the Wrecking Crew, the Grand Championship, Hala Wicked versus Ashley Remington, the Arcane Horde versus Jakob Hammermeyer, Nilkin, Pinky Sanchez, Oleg the Usurper versus Missile Assault Ant also. But, you know, so those are some of the matches for Anniversario. So the card looking good. But I think the big news is that for King of Trios, the second team, Drome, Drago, Phoenix, and Aerostar. And the fact that more people are able to see and get acquainted with them on Lucha Underground. I mean, Drome, is this already better than last year?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, there really is no argument. This field already looks better than what happened last year. I mean, last year was pretty much a disaster, so gotta give a lot of credit to Chikara for bringing together two quality teams and really getting things off to a good start. I still need to see more before I'm convinced to buy the shows on DVD or MP4, but Lucha Underground and the Bullet Club, those are two tremendous tag teams, or trios I should say, that are really going to add something special to King of Trios this year. I mean, obviously, we all know, as hardcore fans, watching what Drago, Aerostar, and Phoenix have been doing in Lucha Underground rings. I mean, it's been spectacular. They are unbelievable performers who are going to fit right in with the Chikara brand. I mean, they are a Lucha Libre organization, so it makes sense to bring in these three prominent names, and I think it's worthwhile. To me, if there's going to... I firmly believe that there is a crossover between the Lucha Underground audience and the Chikara audience, if for no other reason than I think a lot of internet wrestling fans have sort of seeked out the Lucha Underground television show. So I think it's a really good match. I think it's a really smart move by Chikara to get out in front of this and say, look, we're going to bring in these guys and keep moving those tickets. I think they still have to bring in some more tech. They owe a lot after last year. They took a beating, and it was deserved. They really deserved all of the criticism that they got last year for not bringing in a lot of quality teams. But obviously this year it looks like they're sort of compensating for that. So King of Trios is ultimately going to be a more desirable set of shows. And I give them credit, and hopefully it continues.
Absolutely. I mean, there's joining the Bullet Club, the first announced team, AJ Styles, Matt, and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. So it takes place September 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Palmer Center. Yes, Matt already has his tickets. I'm sure a lot of you other people do. And right now, actually, it seems like a pretty much a smarter move than it was last year. So the last bit of things that I want to talk about, AAA, of course, they announced that their Lucha Libre World Cup, it will be in the U.S. It's going to be on iPay-per-view. These are the teams announced. You know, they have teams from AAA, obviously, TNA, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, All Japan, NOAH, and other ones as well. You have Alberto El Patron, Rey Mysterio, and Mysticis, the former Sin Cara, Seth Mystico. You guys know the history. El Hierro del Fantasma, El Tano Jr., and Psycho Clown is another team. Blue Demon Jr., Dr. Wagner Jr., and El Solar. Drew Galloway and Helico and Judas Macias. In the team rest of the world, I don't even know what that means, but it works. It's like the international team. Now, this is where it gets kind of funny slash weird. You have Team TNA slash Lucha Underground, Matt Hardy, Mr. Anderson, and Johnny Mundo, and then Team Ring of Honor slash Lucha Underground, Moose, ACH, and Brian Cage. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of laughed when I saw the three of them tweeting that, hey, we're going to be a team in the Lucha Libre World Cup. And I was like, okay, I can see ACH. Brian Cage has been doing good stuff in AAA. And then Moose. Man, Moose. He is really getting around. So really happy for him, obviously. And then you have Taiji Ishimori, Takayama, and Kotage for Noah, and Suzuki, Tiger Mastery, and Masamune for All Japan Pro Wrestling. So yeah, really good teams. It is literally a World Cup. I don't know too much in terms of, you know, what their production is going to look like. But hey, you know, it's AAA. They're doing something new. So I give them all the credit in the world for putting this together. Going to be checking out on iPay-per-view.
And they're clearly trying to appeal to the hardcore United States fan, booking in teams from TNA, Lucha Underground, and Ring of Honor. They're clearly trying to go for a more American, and I should say North American-based audience, which is probably, that's a good idea in theory, to try something new. You know, obviously New Japan is sort of expanded with New Japan World, and, you know, they're using a lot of Gaijin wrestlers as well, and CMLL talent, so it's a smart move for AAA to sort of do the same thing and bring in some international guys and bring in, you know, ACH and Moose. So obviously I think the favorite team, I believe it's Alberto El Patron, the former Mystico, and Rey Mysterio. I believe that is one of the trios, so I would almost be willing to bet my house that is the team that is ultimately going to win. And that's, again, that's the best possible decision because they're the biggest names. And that's who I would book to win this thing. So
you want to book Mr. Anderson and Matt Hardy to win?
Absolutely not, Chris. No way. They would probably be the last team I would book to win this tournament, in fact. And that's more because I don't like Mr. Anderson than anything else. But, yeah, it's pretty fascinating stuff.
It really is. And then the team of Moose, ACH, and Brian Cage, like I said, kind of crazy. That team
is
happening.
Yes, Team Oreo. They really are Team Oreo.
I wasn't even going to go there. But anyway, moving on. So yeah, that is pretty much the news for this week. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that CWF Mid-Atlantic has a huge show this Saturday, May 16th. Explosive Elements 2015 is the first taping for their brand new CWF Worldwide show that is going to premiere on their YouTube channel Wednesday, May 20th. Should be a lot of fun. They have the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion Brad Attitude versus Nick Richards in a no DQ, no countout, anything goes match. Marcellus King versus Evan Banks, and a lot more, including Ethan Case, Eric Royal, John Schuyler, Chris Lee, and a lot more. So go check them out, CWF247.com, for all the information for that. And of course, we still have our Rain Fund going on. We are very close to $900. We appreciate everyone, including the recent anonymous donations. And, you know, keep it going, guys. We have until June, and really wanting to hit that $1,200 fund, which I'm pretty sure we will hit. But we want to thank everyone who's been sharing it and who has donated to the fund already. Again, just donate $1. Just one. And it can make all the difference in the world. So go go and help us get to that. And we promise, the 12-hour podcast marathon, the guests that we have lined up, they will not disappoint. And, of course, we also have the IPW trading card game, the giveaway. It ends on the 15th. We have a lot of entries so far, but still, go check it out. Some really awesome cards, including the photography from Devin Chen. So a lot of good stuff there. And, of course, I put up the new discounts page. You can go to pwponderings.com, look at the discounts in the menu. And, you know, we have stuff for the AIW streaming service. You get 20% off the first year, so you're basically getting it for just slightly over $6 when normally it costs $7.99. And then IPW trading cards and Phil Singer games also give us coupon codes, and we will get more pretty soon in the near future. So Jerome, pretty busy week, like we said, for independent wrestling, but what do you have going on? I saw your review come up of the WrestleCon show.
Chris, how dare you forget AEW Vanguard on Saturday that I'm going to be announcing? I will be announcing at AEW Vanguard at Berwyn, Illinois, this Saturday night at 7:30. If you have not purchased your tickets, you may do so until Wednesday at AAWrestling.com. Make sure you do that. It's $15 front row, $10 general admission, $5 for kids on the day of the show. So make sure you do that. I will be calling the action with my broadcast partner, Zach Braxton. Once again, AEW Vanguard, you only live once. I know that a number of fans are already going to be planning to make the trip, and hopefully if you live in the greater Berwyn / Chicago area, you will all be there too. It's going to be a very good time, and I'm very much looking forward to calling the action. Congo Kong will be making his AEW Vanguard debut. Arya Daivari will be making his return. Eric Ryan is going to be there. Angela Slane, for better or for worse, will be wrestling Alexa Nicole. Just a lot of really good stuff is forthcoming this Saturday at You Only Live Once, AEW Vanguard, Berwyn, Illinois. Definitely make sure you check that out. For all of my reviews, of course, you can go to pwponderings.com. And Chris, thankfully, we did not talk about CZW and WSU. That's probably for the best.
I mentioned we have a new WSU champion.
That's really all that deserves to be mentioned. Because Carrie Bomb is very good. I like her a lot. She's very, very impressive. Has gotten a lot better. But some of the booking on these two shows have a lot to be desired. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get myself in trouble.
Well, of course, Joke, check out the reviews, the results, tons of stuff up at pwponderings.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's going to be a busy week. We'll have all the Ring of Honor results you want, and then more results, of course, for the next weekend. So lots of stuff. Thank you again, everyone. We'll talk to you again real soon.